And a matter of fact, we do have some thoughts on that. Peter Goodman from our partners at the New York Times, he went looking for that city or place in the country that really personifies the daily numbers of layoffs and sales drop-offs and other economic fears and factors that are taking place in this country right now. And he discovered that Columbia, South Carolina, according to a whole host of indicators, really reflects best the country at large. Peter joins us now. Good morning, Peter.
Morning.
You have a front page article today in the paper about Columbia, South Carolina. What is it about that city?
Well, we looked at a bunch of indicators, as you said. We looked at things like change in household net worth, real estate prices, percentage of manufacturing jobs, and the change in manufacturing jobs, financial services jobs. And we ran data. We had MoodysEconomy.com run data for the past decade. And the metropolitan area in the United States that comes closest to the national average, I mean, we built this index of all these indicators, and the city that jumps out at you is Columbia, South Carolina.
And why is that? What is it about that community? I mean, you tend to think of South Carolina, you think tobacco.
Yeah, I mean, there is that knee-jerk reaction, tobacco, textiles, and the Carolinas. Actually, Columbia is quite diversified. I mean, they have a tire factory. They do some software. The University of South Carolina is a big research institution. They're actually very invested now in looking at hydrogen fuel cells and biotechnology. There is some manufacturing. There are a lot of banking jobs. It is, for better or worse, and, you know, there isn't a perfect microcosm, but it's the closest we've got.
But given all of that diversity, you would think that Columbia, South Carolina, then would be able to mitigate themselves or itself against the economic landscape, as opposed to, say, communities in the Midwest that are mostly made up of the economy is mostly made up of the auto industry, suppliers and other businesses related.
Well, again, it's a microcosm. It's not the worst hit. So this is not Ohio. This is not Michigan, as you know. This is a place that can mitigate to some degree, but there are a lot of people working for state government there. It's South Carolina's state capital. The university, though there are cuts at the university, is, you know, weathering things in terms of employment better than an industry like the auto industry,
mm-hmm.
Certainly.
So what did you learn from studying Columbia, South Carolina, about the rest of the country?
Well, I learned that there's a sense of desperation there, as I think there is through much of the country, as I've discovered in travels to other places. I mean, people who don't have jobs are having an incredibly difficult time finding the next job. They're worried about their unemployment checks running out, and they're having a difficult time just living on those unemployment checks. People who've never applied for aid are now applying for food stamps. People are getting support from whoever they can find, whether that's a boyfriend or a girlfriend or parents. I mean, you have people who are into their 40s, you know, now leaning on their parents for assistance if they're out of work or their hours have been cut. It's just a very, very tough economy out there.
Well, Peter, you describe relationships between individuals who are relying on each other. I'm wondering if Columbia tells a story of interrelationships between, say, the banking sector and the education sector and the governmental sector. For instance, I would think in a time where there are a lot of layoffs, people are going to be applying to the school. And maybe if there's going to be an economic stimulus package, there may be some hope for government workers, and that there may be some other sort of sectors of the economy that are much, much weaker. How does that interrelationship play out in the people you talked with?
Well, the focus in this piece is on how Columbia is now positioning itself to get some of this stimulus money that President-elect Obama is talking about unleashing once he gets into office. I mean the signals out of the new administration are, as a lot of your listeners are aware, we're talking about up to $775 billion to be spent on public infrastructure projects, you know, road building, improvements to sidewalks, classrooms. And I spent some time with the mayor of South Carolina, Bob Coble, who's been mayor there for 18 years, who's got this list of high-priority projects totaling $140 million, he says, you know, could be enacted immediately. They've already got the easements for roads. They've done the design work. You know, just give us the money, and we'll get people to work. And the interrelationship is such that, you know, he's looking to improve this InnoVista campus that the university has going, where they're focused on biotech and the hydrogen economy, on the theory that, you know, these are future jobs. So you not only get the construction jobs by building the campus, building the new buildings and the road improvements and bridges and such, but then you have jobs going forward in these new sectors of the economy.
So, Peter, would you say that there are actually things that the rest of the country can learn by taking a look at how Colombia is dealing with the troubles that we're facing?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, it's early, you know, and this infrastructure spending is something that a lot of economists think has to happen, and yet there are a lot of question marks about how it's going to happen. I mean, in Colombia, for instance, they're focused, as I say, on this InnoVista campus, which a lot of economists think is a very good idea longer term to focus on high growth areas of the economy for jobs. On the other hand, they're looking to spend $54 million to complete sidewalk improvements to a street called North Main Street. And they did a similar project on Main Street over the last 10 or 15 years that's made the Main Street look really nice, and they've got, you know, pavers down on sidewalks.
So it sounds like they're really looking ahead. Peter Goodman, thank you very much. Peter Goodman reports for the New York Times, and he was telling us about Columbia, South Carolina.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.